This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Anyone for petanque? We're with Sligo Petanque Club ahead of Saturday's open day at Mitchell Curley Park. As speculation grows over Rhys Hutchinson's departure from the showgrounds, we talk to the man Sligo Rovers have brought in as defensive cover. Paddy McLean is back in a Rover shirt for the second time in his career. And Neurodiverse FC is a football club with a difference. It's designed to help children with additional needs reach their sporting potential. We'll hear from its founder. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan and here are the contact details. To get in touch by text or WhatsApp, it's 083 3500 530, by email sport@oceanfm.ie, and you'll find us on X as well, at Ocean FM Sport. Well, first to Sligo Petanque Club. That's French boules to you and me. It's holding an open day this Saturday at Mitchell Curley Park on the outskirts of the town. We paid a visit to the club earlier this week.
Whoever's nearest to the jack is how we choose. That's me. And Klaus, is it, or is
that's
it...
definitely.
Is it Mary? Okay, Klaus and me together.
Klaus against, and you, and who's the third?
And the third one...
Is it Mary or is it me? It's Mary, isn't it? Okay, Mary. So Peter, okay. We're together. Right. Hello, my name is Philomena O'Connor, and I am chairperson of the Sligo Petanque Club.
I never knew there was a Sligo Petanque Club. How old are you?
Well, we started in 2021, but would you believe it, Austin? There was a petanque club here in 2008. This piece was purpose-built in 2007, I think. And John O'Grady, who got in touch with Sligo Sport and Recreation Partnership, actually played here in 2008 and won the doubles. It was in conjunction with Bridie Nicholson. Bridie was a world champion. She was a transplant patient. She had a kidney and pancreas transplant, and her favourite game was petanque, and she was a world champion at it.
You mentioned the word piste. That's the name in French for the pitch in petanque, for want of a better expression. And we're standing here at Mitchell Curley Park on the outskirts of Sligo. This is the home of petanque in Sligo.
Yes, this is the home, and it's meant to be one of the country's best pistes.
So explain what a piste is. What am I looking at here?
You are looking at a rectangular ground, and it's covered in gravel. And it's a French game, so it's very popular on the continent, and you'll often see people throwing metal balls at a jack, at a little small sphere, and the person who gets closest to that gets the point.
Okay, so the jack is a really small red ball. I mean, it's tiny.
It is tiny, and it can come in any colour, but it is tiny, and that's thrown out first from a circle. We have a ring where the game starts, and you stand in the ring, and you throw out the jack. And then you throw your metal ball at it. So we have teams. And then, so I throw the metal ball and I get as close as I can. And then, so that means I'm holding. And then the next team throw and they get a better shot than me, so they're holding. So it's back and forth until all the boules are thrown.
So is it accurate to say it's a bit like lawn bowls, but on gravel instead of a manicured grass surface?
I think that would be fair to say.
All the balls look the same. I don't see any numbers on them. So how do you tell the difference between your metal balls and your opponent's?
Well, if you look closely, a lot of them have different patterns. And if you have the same boules as somebody else, we end up maybe painting them. So we can get very creative.
Boules, sorry, not balls. Get your terminology right, Austin. Thank you, Philomena, for the gentle correction there. So how many boules does each player have?
So depending on how many are on the team. So for instance, if three people are playing together, you can only have two boules. But if two people are playing two on a team, then each you get three bulls. So you'll have no more than three, but you could be reduced to two, depending on the number playing.
Okay. Where did your love of petanque come from, Philomena? Are you a closet Francophile?
I honestly don't know what happened, but John O'Grady decided in 2021 to ask Sligo Sport and Recreation to start petanque again in Sligo because there has been a huge gap. And a few of us got together. It was just advertised and we came along to support it and we've grown to love it since.
I'm looking at your teammates here. We have Irish people. We have Germans. I don't see any French natives here this morning, but you may have members on other days.
Yeah, we certainly have French, Italian, Algerian, German, English, and our own native Irish. And I might have left out a nationality, but we have. It's brilliant like that, Austin.
Watching you play here, it looks a very relaxing, enjoyable game. Does it get competitive?
Yes, it certainly does. Austin, if my metal ball gets too near the jack, I'm usually shot out. So it does get competitive, and there are competitions. Yeah. And it's so some of our members, you pay actually an extra fee to become a competitor, to play in competitions. So some of our members are actually competitors.
And I see at times the measuring tape is needed to determine whose bull is closest to the jack.
Oh, definitely, because there can be discrepancies as who's the closest. And a mill, it's a big thing in petanque.
Tell me, is there an All-Ireland Championship in petanque?
That's a very good question. Well, I know in 2008 that when John O'Grady came up here, I know they all travelled from Cork, and I know that they had... but I honestly can't answer that question if there is an All-Ireland. But there are petanque clubs all over the place.
Well, maybe you can start one up, Philomena. Who knows? You're having an open day in Sligo for the club this Saturday. Tell me about that.
Yes, we're having an open day here on the 28th of June, and it's open to everybody. So everybody is welcome. And it is from 11 till 2 p.m. And Councillor Adele McSharry is going to come and participate. And we're hoping for a big crowd and we're hoping for sunshine.
So this is a chance for people, the general public, to come and give the game of petanque a try.
Exactly, Austin. People can come along and play and try out the game, see if they like it.
I'm looking at the age profile here, Philomena, this morning. And how shall I put this delicately? You're all experienced. Do children play petanque?
This is an adult club, Austin. But children can come along to the open day. They'd be more than welcome. But we don't actually have any children in the club.
Yeah.
Yet, yeah. But it's open to everybody.
What do you think your members get out of this sport and being part of the Sligo Petanque Club?
Well, it's just a lovely, relaxing game. And you have the beautiful view of Benbulbin. So you can play in any weather because we have two shelters here. And we can play in the rain or we can play in the sunshine. But it's a really lovely, relaxing game. Oh, well done.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Club members meet and play on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and their introductions to the sport vary, as some of the Tuesday players, Mary, Peter, Klaus and Jenny, explain.
So,
whose is this one?
It was an open day about 4 years ago, I think, by John O'Grady. He started it, and we came along and had a try and decided, yeah, we'd stay with it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And Klaus, were you hooked straight away?
At the same time, yes, because give me something to do, like, you know. It's yeah, no, it was good, yeah, yeah.
What's the attraction to the sport for you?
Which one?
What do you like about it? What attracts you to the sport?
Yeah, because it's, you know, for the weight and the small things you can, you know, make, like, sometimes, you know, but not always. And, yeah, so it's good for one in the year, like, you know, one side there and another one, and sometimes we also went to another area, like another
That's a bit of a laugh, isn't it?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We have. That's the fun of it as well.
Yeah,
yeah, everybody.
We always have a joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do.
It's better when it's not
especially
raining.
When Klaus wins.
Very sad when it's raining like.
Yeah, but we're here in all weathers, aren't we?
Yeah.
And Mary, you're a relative newcomer to Petanque.
Yes, that's correct.
What pulled you in?
Well, I live around here and I usually walk the park, but used to keep looking in. And then Jenny said, come on and give it a try. Mm. So in I came and that was the beginning. Mm. And I enjoyed it.
A lot of people use Mitchell Curley Park in Sligo, but they might be unaware that there is a Petanque club in the heart of the park.
That's correct. I didn't know it was here either until I was started walking the park and then realised it. But once I came in and met the people and they were all lovely and very welcoming, and I really enjoy it.
Peter, if people visit France on holidays, they'll see groups of men in parks in central Paris or Lyon or Bordeaux playing petanque on a Sunday morning or any morning of the week. It looks a very relaxing, enjoyable game. Does it get competitive?
Oh, it does. It gets competitive.
Very.
The lady on my left is a demon, absolute demon. And when you see Klaus step up behind you, he is. But funny enough, that's where I first played petanque years ago in the south of France in Castellan. A hot summer day and wine was flowing and the old men were playing. And it sort of intrigued me then. And then now I'm retired and I was looking for something to do. And this is the ideal. It's not frantic, it's not frenetic, it's leisurely. Great fun, great crack.
Well, you're all still talking to one another anyway, Jenny.
Oh, we do. We always forgive each other.
Because we're either playing with each other or against each other the next time.
In the morning you can swap around when the bulls have thrown and you can end up being together or against each other.
And it's one of those mixed sports, men and women play together with each other, against each other.
Yeah, all age groups. And people who have difficulties, they're there at the aids to help them lift the bulls up. You know, there's magnets and different things.
That's a good contraption. A magnet to lift the ball off the ground.
So and then I don't have to bend down if you have a back problem.
Like that. Isn't that cool?
Lifts the jack.
Yeah. Yes. If you've got a magnetic jack, yes.
Yes. So,
you don't have to bend down.
Do you speak French when you're playing?
You can swear under your breath.
Just one,
Just one.
And then here... Is it this one?
I think that one.
Deirdre Lavin, you're CEO of Sligo Sport and Recreation Partnership. I don't know if you're a petanque player, but what a little oasis we have here in Mitchell Curley Park in Sligo for the sport.
Well, absolutely, Austin. And believe it or not, I don't know should I claim, but I do play petanque and I'm actually a member of the club. It's a fantastic facility and actually it's one of the finest purpose-built piece in the entire country. And, you know, people who come to play here recognise that. So the local authority had the vision and the foresight many years ago in the early 2000s to actually put this facility in place. And I suppose what's a real selling point of it is it's a fantastic, there's so many pieces, you can play, so many people play at the one time, and the setting is just stunning in that you can look over at Bimbulben as you're playing your game. So it's, and I suppose what's really important is its capacity to, the sport caters for all people, all abilities, all ages, and it's so inclusive. And I suppose what we really notice is it's very welcoming for new communities and people that come to Ireland from other countries, because we all know that petanque is pretty popular on the continent and particularly in France. So many newcomers to Sligo meet people and enjoy the county through this sport of petanque.
I know one of the raison d'etre of sports partnerships across the land is to get people of all ages and brackets active in some shape or form. And whatever your activity level or ability, this is something that everybody can do.
That's true. It's very inclusive, and I suppose it's one of those sports. It's across the lifespan, so it's intergenerational. You know, you can have children, parents, and grandparents all playing together. And I suppose one of the aspects of the game is that it's you know, people with mobility issues can actually play the game. So you don't necessarily have to be very fit to play the game. So, but that said, it does involve lots of bending and stretching and movement. So it's, yeah, it's, but it, from that aspect, it's very inclusive. And we've had in the past programs for, particularly for people with a disability, and open days. But I suppose what's really positive now is over the last few years, Sligo Petanque Club has been established under the stewardship of John O'Grady, and it has grown from strength to strength. And having a club that's driving the sport and engaging people and promoting the sport, that's key. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge the work that the Sligo Petanque Club is doing in making things happen.
And do you have a club ranking, Deirdre Lavin? Do the competitive juices start flowing when you're in the middle of a game?
Well, definitely not for me, Austin. But absolutely, there's some very talented players in the club. And that is an important aspect of any club. You know, you have those who are there for recreational purpose and just enjoy the game and the fun. But of course, people love the bit of competition. And Sligo Petanque Club, they have lots of members who go off and play competitions with other clubs. And yeah, that, I suppose, drives the little bit of motivation to keep playing and getting better. So it's important to have people at all levels in the club.
I would like the left hand.
Would you?
Oh, you.
So you go.
Deirdre Lavin from Sligo Sport and Recreation Partnership, ending that report from Mitchell Curley Park. And Sligo Petanque Club's open day takes place this Saturday the 28th at Mitchell Curley Park from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be guided coaching sessions for beginners, the equipment will be supplied, demonstrations and friendly games will be available too with experienced players. You have the opportunity to try the game yourself in a no-pressure environment, and yes, there'll be teas and coffees as well. Next to Neurodiverse Football Club, it's a football club with a difference because it provides tailored coaching sessions for kids with additional needs between the ages of 4 and 12. The group has been running clinics across several Ulster counties in recent months, and now sessions are beginning in Sligo and South Donegal in early July. Tommy Walsh is the founder of Neurodiverse FC. His son has autism. He's also a coach with the Sligo Rovers boys under 17 academy side.
Well, I have just moved back to Ireland about 12 months ago. It was January of last year. I had been over in England from I was 18 years of age, and I'd spent my whole career, if you like, working in professional football in England. So I've worked with the Football Association and with various football clubs and academy roles and things like that. And we, 5 years ago, me and my wife had our first baby, Ted, and sort of around maybe two and a half, maybe earlier than that, maybe even 18 months, we just started to notice that he was sort of delayed developmentally. And that where that kind of led us to was sort of on a pathway that Ted was being looked into for autism, ADHD, things like that. And we were fine, Austin, to be honest, over there. For the period of time that we were there. But when my second baby was born, we were just sort of realising that we needed family support, and it was kind of maybe time to move home to Ireland. So when I moved home in the January, I was just taking Ted to different places, and, like, you know, little grassroots events and clubs and things like that. I just didn't think there was anywhere where he'd be able to be for a long period of time, just because, you know, when you go to grassroots events and clubs and things like that, they're run by volunteers, and the volunteers are fantastic and they do their best. But I was just looking at it and thinking, where can I take him to try and make friends and things like that? And that he could have his own little club where maybe there are coaches that would maybe understand how to deal with his needs and address his needs and things like that. And I was sitting thinking, like, there's no professional football jobs in Ireland, or that not as many. And you know, the funding for that is going to be limited. So I probably have to take a wee detour sort of in my career. And I thought, I'm just going to set up a session in OMA, and I'm just going to see what happens. And lo and behold, it just kind of, I got sort of inundated very, very quickly. And we would have had a lot of people coming to Omagh from the Strabane and from Lifford, and they said, look, there's a big need in Strabane. I ended up in Strabane and then went on to Letterkenny, and the same thing the other way into Enniskillen, and have ended up now in Derry, and now the same thing in Sligo. I'm actually working for Sligo Rovers Academy with the under-17s men's team, so I'm up in Sligo anyway. So when people started contacting me, I thought, well, I'm up there anyway. It makes sense to see if we can start something up there and support the kids up there as well. So that's sort of a long story of how we ended up getting to where we've got to. But it's like anything, Austin, you know, with things like this, you tend to find that people end up in these types of roles when they are affected by for example, you would have maybe people who run charities for maybe cancer or things like that, and maybe they've lost a loved one. The same thing here with me, you know, I probably wouldn't have been involved in this had my son not had autism, but because I've been on the same journey as all the parents, I understand it, and I just looked around and I thought there has to be a need for it, and you know, every child should have the opportunity to engage with sport if they want to. It's so, so important. And as I say, I just put something out there, and we are where we are now, which is great, to try and continue to provide so many opportunities to so many children, you know.
And you discovered, as you touched on, that there was a need out there. Mums and dads came to you because they wanted their son or daughter to get involved in something like this.
Yeah, so I think what we do is sort of is really unique in the sense that the sessions that we have are, they're low numbers, so we don't take 15 and 20 children. We would maximum take 12, 10 to 12. And the reason for that is lower numbers, children will maybe engage a little bit more. It's not as intimidating when there are lower numbers. But it's also an environment for parents. So the parents can come and they can, and some sessions, parents are so much more involved than others because maybe the children need them there. Other sessions, the children are capable of being more independent on their own. And that kind of maybe gets easier as they get older, I suppose, as well. I'm thinking of Oma in particular, the second session between 8 to 12 year olds, the children come in and they're more than capable now, over 12 months, of being involved in what would suppose you would look at as a normal or a typical coaching session, if you like. Parents can then sit back and have a conversation with each other. And, you know, it's amazing some of the conversations the parents have, because they are all on the same, we're all on the same journey. We're just in different phases of that journey. Some people are starting the process, some people are in the process, some people have come through the process, and it's a real safe space for them as well. But it's a safe space for the children too, because, you know, if they are having a bad day or they're struggling with routine or whatever it is, one of the big things that can, you know, affect the children is when the clocks go back and the daylight is in until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You know, my little lad's the same. He can't understand that nighttime, it's still bright outside, and even a small change like that can affect them. And they're able to come to our environment, and there's absolutely no judgment. They can completely be themselves. We promote them to be themselves. That's the biggest thing for me that I speak about more than anything else, giving them the confidence to be themselves and have the courage to be themselves, because they're so unique, and they're brilliant, brilliant characters. And I think the parents really sort of appreciate that as well. And the kids thrive in that environment. And I just think, Austin, it's just spread more and more with word of mouth. And people will get in touch. But obviously we're on our social media platforms as well, always trying to make people aware that we are out there and the opportunities that are there. So that's sort of how that's sort of progressed, if you like.
So Neurodiverse FC has gradually spread its wings, as you mentioned, from the home base of Oma to places like Enniskillen, Strabane. And now, given your own Sligo Rovers Academy connections, you're coming to Sligo this summer.
Yeah, so we're starting. We're just doing a summer block, but the idea would be to run through. So what we do is we try and run we've two strands to our program at the minute. So we've got our primary schools program, and we've got our skill centres program. And the skill centres programs, they're community sessions, and the idea of that is they sort of run in line with school half terms. And we would run it on our own curriculum as well, so I'll touch on later on. And it's basically, the idea behind it is to try and give the children a weekly coaching session that they can come to that is theirs. rather than just, you know, a sporadic, maybe 4 or 5 weeks of something. So there's that consistency and that routine, because, you know, we would have had children that would have come to us and it might have taken them 6, 10, 12 weeks even to just really be comfortable in the routine. And now they come week after week and they thrive. But it just takes that little bit of time. And I just think that is important, because whilst it's football for everybody and everybody's welcome, boys and girls, and also we have had children that would have been classed as neurotypical and would have been in mainstream environments. They've come as well because maybe they've had a sibling or they've had a friend that's been involved and they've come and really enjoyed it as well. But the idea, as I say, is to just give the children that opportunity to be involved with something every week. You know, I think that probably a lot of parents, if they're listening to this, and maybe yourself as well as me, growing up as children, we probably took for granted what it was to be in a team and the brilliant camaraderie that you can make in teams. And I'm sure you make friends for life when you grow up playing sport. And, you know, sometimes a lot of these children don't play in mainstream environments for whatever reason. Sometimes it can be too fast-paced. Maybe it's too intense. Maybe it moves on too quickly. They process information sometimes a little bit slower. Whatever the situation, it's a different situation for everybody. But it's still really important to be able to give them that experience from week to week that this is their club as well. Because I think, I said it, I was talking to somebody the other week, and I said, you know, sport is like Santa. Every child should experience being in a team. And every child should experience Santa. It's so, so important. It's so powerful. And that's sort of the idea behind the sort of the 6 week blocks in line with school. But as I say, we're starting the Sligo one. We're running it over the summer. But the idea is to progress that then on in September, so it runs in line with all the other skill centres we've got in operation.
Okay, give us a sense then of your Sligo timetable and for Donegal as well, because you've already been providing sessions in Donegal and that's expanding as well.
Yeah, so we are every Monday, we're in Donegal and Letterkenny. So we're there at 3:45 and that's at the Letterkenny Community Centre. And over the summer, we start on Monday the 7th. So this is a 6 week summer block for the Inver Community Centre. And then in Sligo, it starts on Thursday the 3rd of July. As I say, that's at the MCR Community Centre. And that session will be at 5 p.m. The sessions are 45 minutes in length. And we tend to find that that's probably just enough, even though we would book the venue out for an hour. The sessions are roughly about 45 minutes because it's just really important that, you know, it's quality over quantity. And it's like all children, they come in and they're flat out from minute one. And once you get around that sort of 35, 40 minute phase, they really start to get tired. And then you just kind of think, well, what is the best option, to just go 45 minutes and have a really, really good quality session or the hour? And 45 minutes has tended to work across all schools and across all the skill centres we've done. So that seems to be at the moment sort of the perfect model. So, and it's just sort of an idea, because parents are always maybe thinking, what can we expect here? And, you know, you say in your diverse football club and they think, my God, is it a football session, you know, where maybe it's drill-based and, you know, they've got to stand still and wait their turn, and my children maybe not able to stand still or whatever it is. It is football. Football is the forum. It's the medium that drives everything. You know, we try and get the kids to use their feet, take little touches, don't use your hands, control the ball or stop the ball at the bottom of your foot. We work on scoring goals and, you know, accuracy or power and all these different things that you would coach from a football perspective. But the bigger picture in these sessions are they're all sort of fun games, and, you know, it's not drills. And the child really, every individual child really, I say the child is the curriculum, the child is the focus. And whilst we might all be together doing a similar thing, each child will have their own task based on their ability and based on what they're able to do. You know, something as small as when they come in, they all get their own ball and they might have a task of, can you score 3 goals in each goal? And if there's 6 goals set up, they get to 18 or 20. Some children will say, I only want to do 10. And that's absolutely fine. So that, you know, there's that sort of, it's not just, you know, this is what the coach says and you have to do it. It's very, very flexible. And the idea to kind of get it there to parents is like, yeah, I'm not sure what the terminology would be in the Republic of Ireland, but in the north of Ireland, it's called statements. And children who have autism, maybe ADHD, they would have statements in school. And I've read a lot of statements, and obviously I've read my own little boy's statement as well. We would have been in England, we would have called them educational healthcare plans. And, you know, a lot of it is around developing concentration and focus, developing and maintaining friendships, understanding or basic understanding of starting to work in a team, even if that's only as a pair. These are the types of things that we really try and get into our sessions. As I say, football is the driver, but actually when I call the children and I have a whiteboard and I will draw the picture of the game on the whiteboard, some of the children may listen to it, some of the children may not, but the whole purpose of that is it's showing the parents and showing the children as well. The children can sit down around a whiteboard for a minute, 90 seconds. You can hold their attention. Sometimes we're very quick, I think, at the moment to go, children can't sit down or whatever it is, and you know they've got no attention span. But actually, it's like anything. The more repetition they get in an environment where all their peers are starting to sit down and things like that. I remember my little boy at 3 years of age, getting him to sit on carpet time in school. It just wasn't happening. And over time, with the repetition, when we got told that for the first time as parents, that was unbelievable. It was amazing. And it wasn't ever, he started to speak, or he's starting to speak in the right context. It was, he sat down today and for 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds on the carpet, or he said good morning. You know, these things are just, they're massive, massive wins. And that's what we try and focus on. You know, as I say, the concentration and focus, the working in teams. You know, with some of the older children, you know, the understanding of winning and losing can be a big thing, as well as throughout the session, they'll develop their fundamental movement skills. They'll develop as little football players as time goes. But the bigger picture is how can we help them in their sort of social development and their academic development as well. And in a small way, we kind of hope to show that through our sessions.
So the neurodiverse sessions in Sligo at the MCR Community Centre and at the Inver Community Centre in Donegal, what is your age range here that you're catering for?
We put on it from 4 to 11 or 5 to 12, just depending. That's the age group we're catering for at the moment. We would have found over the last sort of 12 months that seems to be I would say 95%, maybe even more, have been for children in that age. We have had people in the 12 to 16 category, or parents of children in the 12 to 16 category, but it's been more sporadic and more spread out, and it's very, very difficult to get a centralised venue where all of these maybe older children could travel. And somebody asked me it the other day, actually, why do you think it's sort of blown up for 5 to 11 year olds so much, and the 12 to 16 year old phase maybe not as much, and I don't know whether that is because they are more maybe engaged with sport in their secondary school settings, or maybe it is the case like it's primary schools are always looking for support to try and broaden and diversify and give children more opportunities. That's what my experience has been so far. Where secondary schools, they have specific PE teachers in place. And also, I suppose they're developing at that age a little bit more, and maybe have friendships and peers, and maybe they're already involved with clubs, or maybe they have different interests, whatever that may be. So that's why we target the sort of the 5 to 12 year olds. And I think the kids that we have, Austin, in our program at the moment that are at the older end, the 10 to 11, 12 year olds, are probably going to move up and up to 14s and 15s. As those children grow with us, and we want to try and make sure we give them that sort of opportunity to do that, and maybe that might be a way of opening up the age range. Then we can go out and say, look, we have a specific maybe 12 to 15 year old session as well. I'm just thinking off the top of my head there with that, but yeah, it's 4 to 12 year olds, 5 to 11 year olds, and we try and bring them together. And as I say, because all the children have their own ball, you know, you can individualize the sessions, but yet have that sort of age range together, if that makes sense.
It does. And if there is a mum or dad listening who would like their daughter or son to get involved, whether it's the Sligo sessions this summer or in Inver or Letterkenny and Donegal, how can they contact you?
You can contact me directly on email. So thomas.walsh@neurodiversefc.com, or our Facebook is neuro.diverse.fc. And it's an open page, and they can just send us a message if they want to, or they can just add us and then send us a message. Either way is absolutely fine.
That's Tommy Walsh from Neurodiverse FC. And if you'd like more information about registering your son or daughter, find Neurodiverse FC on Facebook, or you can send Tommy an email, the address thomas.walsh@neurodiversefc.com. When we come back after the break, Paddy McLean on his return to the showgrounds. We'll have Bohemians against Sligo Rovers live for you this Friday night on Ocean FM from 7:45. It could well be Reece Hutchinson's last game for the club if, as has been reported in the news this week, he moves to English League Two side Crewe Alexandra. It's understood they are set to trigger a release clause in Hutchinson's contract. The former Cheltenham player has been one of Rovers' most consistent players over the past couple of seasons, so who might take his place? Could it be Paddy McLean, who's returning to the showgrounds after six seasons with Glentoran in the Irish League? McLean played previously under Gerard Little with Rovers back in 2018. Here's his memory of that difficult period for the club.
Personally, I think, because I just came from the first division, come back up into the Premier. I think I'd, you know, for myself, I'd done well. But as a team, we underachieved. We, you know, we were very up and down, and obviously seeing a manager get sacked is never nice. But it was a good year all in all for me, though. But you know, I love my time here, and I wish I'd never left, to be honest with you. Yeah.
You're a Derry man, we know. You've been playing with Glentoran in recent times in the Irish League. What enticed you back here?
It's just speaking to John on the phone, and talking about how he wants to, you know, progress and take his team forward, and obviously wanting me to be part of that plan. Just, you know, it's always nice to be wanted, and speaking to John, just sort of, it sold it for me straight away on the phone, yeah.
One of the things he's looking for in the transfer window is experience. It's a young age profile, this Sligo Rovers squad. You're 28, you're still a young man, but I suppose in League of Ireland terms, you'd be a more seasoned player.
Yeah, I've played a lot of football. If that's what you mean, I don't want to say I'm old. I'm still feel young. But no, look, if I can come in and help the boys in any way, I'm happy. There's obviously a group of talented lads there that just had a tough start to the season. We've all been there, and like I said, I want to come in and help them as much as I can.
Does Rovers' league position, did that give you cause for checking yourself, what am I doing here?
No, absolutely not. Like I said, I've been here before. I know the place, I know the club, good people around here, and it would be nice to obviously help the club stay in this division and then kick on.
I mean, 28 isn't old, as we said. I'm sure you would argue your best football years are now or in the next couple of seasons.
Oh, 100%. I missed a lot of football last year with being injured. And it's something that I'm not used to, because I never get injured. But I'm just, you know, I'm eager to get going again, get a ball at my feet and help this team as much as I can.
And is a change of scene the best way to kickstart things for you personally?
I think so. You know, 6 years at Glentoran, you could say probably I got a bit comfortable, and you get used to the place and used to the people, and hopefully coming down here now is a fresh start, and you know, will help me kick on and help the team as well.
And I'm sure you're keeping a half eye on the League of Ireland season. Shamrock Rovers appear now to have got a jump start on the rest of the field, but after that, it's a pretty unpredictable league here.
Big time, and I think even the Rovers themselves, they've obviously done well in Europe, and they've got a great squad of players, some fantastic players in there, and you know, I think anyone on their day in the League of Ireland can beat anyone. There's nobody you look at and go, you know, this is an easy one today. There's nobody, and I've always kept a close eye from leaving the League of Ireland, obviously being a Derry lad, and then keeping an eye on Sligo and Waterford, my old clubs. I always do, you know, show a bit of interest, so it's definitely a tough league, and it's something I'm really looking forward to.
And to finish, one of the big issues for Sligo Rovers this season has been conceding goals. Are you the guy who can help maybe build a defensive wall for the second half of the season?
Look, I'm not going to say I'm going to come in here and I'm going to steady the ship and I'm going to do this and that. I just, all I can do is come in and do the best that I can. if I know the way I play, if I'm at it, then, you know, I back myself against anyone, so, yeah.
Paddy McLean, back with Sligo Rovers. He's not eligible to play until the home game against Shamrock Rovers on Saturday week, the 5th of July. Bows against Rovers is live from Deliman Park this Friday night at 7.45 here on Ocean FM, with thanks to Henry's Bar and Restaurant, Cashel Garran. Finally tonight, there was a welcome return to the local athletics calendar last Saturday evening. The Streets of Sligo 5K attracted just under 500 entries. We're going to hear from a couple of the race winners, beginning with the first man home in an impressive time of 14 minutes and 50 seconds. Fermanagh native Conan McCaughey.
Yeah, no, I'm delighted. I've been having a kind of really good run of form, but I knew like Sligo course would be really well organised and be a fast course, and there's so many good local athletes, so you'd be a really good battle, and it was a really tough race with young Lucas Lyons, so he kind of pushed me all the way, so I'm delighted.
Now, Lucas Lyons was out in front, by he had a bit of a lead on you, but you bided your time.
Yeah, I suppose I don't have the speed of the young lads, but I have the experience, so I knew he'd gone out pretty hard, so I had to just keep relaxed, and when I caught him, I knew he would have a good kick, so I kind of broke him with 800 metres to go and opened up a gap and managed to hold it together, so I'm really delighted. I know he's going to go on to do great things in the sport, so it's nice to get the win there.
You're wearing a North Belfast singlet, yeah. But you're an Enniskillen man. Lisnaskee is home for you.
Yeah, I'm from Lisnaskee. I work in Belfast one day a week, but the rest of the time I'm in Lisnaskee, so I'm going to run with North Belfast because we have a really strong team and compete in European competitions, so it's a really good group. But yeah, I've always loved doing local races and supporting them, and yeah, so really enjoyed that.
Will you come back and defend your title next year?
Yeah, hopefully. I don't think it'll be easy though. I know there's a couple of runners who missed tonight, like John Travers and Oisin Gallen, so I'm sure they'll be back next year too in Hungary for it. But yeah, I look forward to it, but definitely it was a great race, so yeah.
Well, congratulations, Conan, on your win.
Cheers, thank you very much. Cheers, thank you.
The winner of the women's race from Tuam Athletic Club in Galway, Alex Joyce. Your time, Alex?
16.31.
Not bad for a 5K in the rain at Sligo.
Yeah, it was actually a tough enough course, to be honest. It hit a few... Well, the first hill, I was trying to just keep it slow, but the adrenaline was pumping, and I was like, no, keep it in control, because there's a long way to go yet.
Was this your first time to run the Streets of Sligo 5K?
Yeah, my first ever time racing it.
So the course was new?
Yeah, I didn't have a clue where we were going. I go to college here in Sligo, but I'm so bad with directions. I hadn't a buzz clue where we were going. I was like, half the time I didn't know. I was just watching the stewards and the people in front of me. And my lefts and rights are bad as well. So I was just like, which way?
And yet you managed to cross the line first.
Yeah, somehow. I got around anyway, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, lovely event to be part of, though.
Yeah, it was great, and everybody was so friendly and nice, and like all the crowd kept me going so well. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect there to be, like, even when we came to like Dorley Park, I was kind of expecting, like, you know, no one to be around, but everybody that was walking and stuff was stopping and cheering you on, so it was lovely. Yeah.
So you're not completely alien to Sligo, you're studying here at ATU. What are you studying?
Biomedical science. Okay. Yeah.
And you know other Sligo athletes like Lauren Cadden and yeah, others here, so you know the territory a little bit.
Yeah, we all train with Dermot. So
McDermott?
Yeah, Dermot McDermott, so legend man, like.
So Believe and Achieve has worked for you here in Sligo.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He's unreal, like, you know.
And what is the goal for you athletics-wise? I mean, how serious are you taking this sport?
Well, I'm hoping Mike gets selected for European under-23s in this 3K steeplechase.
Okay, that's serious.
Yeah, yeah. There's three of us have ran the standard, so we'll just see how it goes. Like, I don't want to put too much pressure on it. It's about enjoying it. You know, I want to step on the line every time and just smile and say, this is what I love to do, so, you know.
And growing up in Tuam, was this your sport?
I actually played camogie for Ceylon, yeah. So I started off, I think I did a few cross-country runs when I was in primary school, but I didn't start running until TY, so around 14 or 15, and then I actually started in sprints and started doing the distance then, and I really, really like it. So.
And what clicked with the distance that you started enjoying the longer runs?
I think you just have the opportunity to, like, mentally, like, if you're halfway through a race, I feel like you can mentally push more in a distance race than you can in a sprint, you know, because it's over so quickly. Whereas in a distance race, you can kind of chat to yourself. It sounds a bit insane, but you can just tell yourself, like, keep going, you know, and, like, just push on.
Well, I know you said you haven't got a great sense of direction, but it looked okay to me winning the Women's Streets of Sligo 5K. I hope you find the way back to your digs now in ATU.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Alex Foley from Tuam Athletic Club, winner of the Streets of Sligo 5K last weekend. A reminder before we go of our other live commentaries this coming weekend: Sligo Rovers Women against DLR Waves in round one of the Sports Direct Women's FAI Cup is live this Saturday afternoon from the showgrounds at 3 o'clock. The All-Ireland Men's Football Quarterfinal, Donegal against Monaghan, is live from Croke Park at 4. And on Sunday, we're in Drogheda to bring you the TG Cahir Women's All-Ireland Junior Championship game between Louth and Sligo that throws in at 2 o'clock. Now, this programme is going to take a short summer break. We're back with you in 3 weeks, July the 17th. Same time, same place.